OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. Now is the time to stock up if you want the best selection of hard-to-find ammo. Friendly and knowledgeable customer service, quality and selection you can count on, and the ammo you need delivered fast right to your door. OnlineAmmo.com is the real deal. And my buddy Hank Hayes, the VP of OnlineAmmo.com and master of firearms training and self-protection, wants you to have the code ship free now on all orders over $200. OnlineAmmo.com is more than just an ammo retailer. They also have optics, accessories, and firearms for sale at OnlineAmmo.com. Their mission, your ammunition. OnlineAmmo.com.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Yeah, baby, you bet your bacon we are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Yeah, you know the podcast because you listen all the time. Yeah, it's all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And that must mean you know me, too. I am your oh-so-gracious host, Royce Bartlett, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and, you know, that little faint, tantalizing whiff of Hops Number 9. Yeah, the cologne of my people. Yeah, hit me up at Shooting Straight, Royce at ShootingStraightRadio.com if you want to send me an email. Or if you're a Patreon sponsor, you can contact me through the Patreon website there, like a Patreon sponsor recently did named Tom. And Tom, thank you. I appreciate you sending me that video, which I'm going to address here in just a little bit. If you'd like first access to all episodes plus media content that nobody else gets, become a Patreon sponsor of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. You can check that out at patreon.com/Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Also, many of you have contacted me through the Shooting Straight Radio podcast page on Farcebook, and I really appreciate all of the feedback that you guys send me there. As I said earlier, Tom, a Patreon sponsor, and Tom, thank you. I'll tell you what, you're a very generous man. I really appreciate you immensely. Tom sent me a video that depicted some very poor behavior. And it was a video that I had seen just shortly after I had a recent guest on. And Tom sent me a better version of that video. Thank you again, Tom. And it was a video of Mr. Martin Hyde. And he was, as some of you know, that he was a recent guest on this program. And I want to assure all of you out there that might be aware of this video that shows Mr. Hyde being, less than polite and less than respectful to a police officer. I didn't see that video until after he had been a guest, or I probably would have A, neither had him on as a guest, or B, asked him about it and give him a chance to explain himself. I haven't spoken with Mr. Hyde about the video, and I will be doing that. I'd like to hear from his own mouth that he has apologized to that officer, because I'm not happy with the way I saw him behave towards her. She was being very professional and very courteous, and the video shows Mr. Hyde not being very professional or courteous. I'll follow up with this a little later in another podcast after I speak with Mr. Hyde and give him a chance to explain himself. But if I hear that there was no apology forthcoming from him to that officer, then, you know, we'll have to part ways. He'll no longer be a guest on this program. So that's it for now on that particular issue. I'll keep you updated as we go. All right. Now, I've heard a lot lately, especially with the recent occurrences in Canada, where the Royal Canadian Mounted Police totally brutalized the truckers and the protesters out there protesting Mr. Trudeau, the Mr. Communist Trudeau, all of his ridiculous mandates that had been killing the economy up there and killing the livelihoods of many. And to the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, I must say I am absolutely disgusted with your behavior. You are a blight upon the profession of law enforcement. You are absolutely disgusting with the way you behaved towards those people. You went in there armed with batons and firearms, even though I don't know that you actually pulled firearms on anybody. I haven't seen that video to give you, you know, a fair shake here. But you went in there and you waded into those people, swinging batons, stomping on women with horses, as one video depicted you doing, and then joked about that later amongst yourselves on social media. You wretched, disgusting human beings. I don't know how in the world you guys sleep at night other than you are utterly corrupt and you think it's okay to act the way you did. I mean, did you guys use flashbangs, you know, breaching the bouncy houses there? I mean, you might as well have, from what I saw, if you know, everything else you're doing, and I'm starting to trip over my tongue because I'm getting really ticked off about it. You guys are disgusting. I know I've said it before, and I'm going to keep saying it. You guys are disgusting. You don't deserve to be public servants. You don't deserve to have the trust of the people. You don't deserve to wear a badge that real brave people wear. Resign. Every last stinking one of you that were involved in that garbage. You should have pointed back to Mr. Trudeau with your middle finger and said, we're not doing what you want us to do. But no, you lent your power, you lent your authority to a tyrant, to a thug, to a communist, to a flaming Bolshevik. That's what you did. Look at you now. Yeah, I tell you what, you guys really, really, what should I say? You trashed your own reputation there for all the world to see. So when I hear people talking about, well, if the Canadians would have been able to fight back if they had the right to keep and bear arms like we have here. And that's what I don't want to tell them flat out. Let me tell you something. The right to keep and bear arms is not limited geographically. I'm tired of hearing this kind of stuff. Well, if they just had the right, they have the right. The right is not, you know, limited to just the continental United States. It's all people all over the world have this right. According to our founders and what they wrote, all men have the right to defend themselves. All men are created equal. All men are born with certain unalienable rights. Canadians have them too, and so do Ukrainians. And they have certainly been exercising that right. We'll be talking about them in just a little bit. But again, I say I want to drive this home. Every living human being on the earth, regardless of location, has the God-given right to defend themselves against immoral, unlawful violence that's brought against them and their families. And yes, that includes when it is brought against them by people wearing badges and swinging batons and clubs. RCMP, they have the right to defend themselves against that, regardless of who is bringing that violence to them. What's been happening in the Ukraine presently, regardless of what facts may or may not appear later that prove the media is once again falsely reporting on a situation, and it's not going to surprise me one bit if we find out that's true. But anyway, just regardless of what facts may appear later, This, what's happening there is exactly what it looked like in Canada recently, and is exactly what it would look like here in the USA if our government ever decided to move against us, because that's exactly what's happening there. A tyrannical government is assaulting the citizenry, and on a scale much larger and more brutal and more violent than what happened recently in Canada. Again, I say, therefore, any laws that inhibit the people of any country from defending themselves against all threats, as far as I'm concerned, those laws are null and void. All attempts to enforce those laws are nothing less than acts of pure aggression against the people. I'm very glad that the Ukrainian government saw fit to arm their citizens. They began to pass out guns to them. By the way, that's required of the United States government. If the militia is called out, the United States government is required to arm them, us, that is. So let's look into this Ukrainian crisis here. And lately in the media, and also amongst Second Amendment advocates, the advocates of the right to keep and bear arms, we've been pointing to what's going on over there in the Ukraine and saying, this is what we've been talking about right here. Now, somebody said, well, yeah, but well, you people here in the United States, you guys don't need these kind of weapons of war because there's not a foreign country invading you. It doesn't matter. It is a tyrannical government, whether it's of this country or another, it doesn't matter. The people must always be ready and able to defend themselves against any and all aggression brought against them by thugs in high places or thugs in low places. The people are paramount. This is the government of, by, and for the people. The people are the primary reason this country was founded, not for the government. Get that through your head. Well, apparently, some people don't like the fact that we're using Ukraine as a talking point in the debate about the right to keep and bear arms here at home. They don't like it. Why? Well, because, for obvious reasons, they don't like bold and glaring illustrations of how fallacious their own arguments are. That we've been talking about it here in this country. Well, you don't need 30-round magazines to hunt deer. And we tell them, well, it ain't the deer we're worried about. It's the government. The government has 30-round magazines. We get 30-round magazines. Whatever the government has, we have a right to. That's why they pass laws saying we don't, because they want to be more powerful than we are. Problem is, there's millions, tens of millions more of us than there are of them. And they know that, and they don't like it. I'll tell you what else leftists don't like. They don't like the fact, like I said, that we're pointing across the world to Ukraine and going, see, that's the reason for our Second Amendment. Ooh, yeah, they don't like that at all. I don't care. It's a perfect illustration of exactly what happens when a tyrannical government begins to assault a people, an unarmed people. It's also illustrative of an armed people deciding that they're not taking that crap and shooting back. And you got to love that. Here's an article from Reuters and written by Barbara Goldberg and Brendan O'Brien. And here's the article. It says, since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, gun rights advocates in the United States have sought to use the crisis to bolster their position on the U.S.'s constitutional Second Amendment to keep and bear arms, injecting a new element into the heated debate. No, it's not a new element at all. It's the same old element we've discussed millions of times, literally, and said this is the reason we, the people, are armed and will keep our weapons of war and our assault weapons and our high-capacity magazines. By the way, I hate the term gun rights advocates. It's human right advocates. That's what we are. And I like what they say. They sought to use the crisis to bolster their position. You not gaslight much? That's what you guys do. You use a crisis, a mass shooting, a mass murder by gun, and you use that to impugn half of the American citizenry. You do that. I love how you sit there and gaslight this back onto us. My goodness. There's only one side of the Second Amendment debate that uses a crisis to bolster their position, and that's you leftists. Back to the article. Arguments linking the invasion to gun rights have cropped up this week across social media in a post by the National Rifle Association and during a legislative vote in Georgia State House. The NRA said in a blog post on Monday, pointing to Ukrainians who have armed themselves to defend their country, the post said what is happening in Ukraine proves the wisdom of our founding fathers in drafting the Second Amendment. Well, for once, I agree with the NRA. Amen. That's exactly right. The article continues, anti-gun violence advocates, however, point to increasing firearm deaths in the United States and say tighter regulations and fewer guns are what is needed. Now, I don't know if you caught those two terms that they used juxtapositionally there. One is the one I just talked about, gun rights advocates, and the other is anti-gun violence advocates. If you want to know what the implication they're attempting to force into your mind there, if you'd like to know what that is, it's basically the implication is that being that the right to keep and bear arms is the cause of gun violence. That's the implication. The right of the people to keep and bear arms is the cause of gun violence, and only people who are anti-gun violence advocates are on the right side of the argument, the correct side of the argument. Meanwhile, you gun rights advocates, yeah, you just want to arm everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was a statement made by Mr. Peter Ambler, executive director of the highly deceitful Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence. He said it was deeply irresponsible for gun rights advocates to tie their, quote, more guns everywhere, end quote, advocacy to the Ukraine crisis. Did you catch that little popular fallacious catchphrase there? Did you catch that? We're the more guns everywhere crowd. You know what they're saying? They're lying, and they're falsely accusing us of wanting everybody to have guns and just let God sort everything out later after everybody starts shooting each other up. That's the implication there. They think that we actually want to arm violent people, and that's irresponsible. Well, they like calling us irresponsible anyway, even though they can't prove that we are the problem. I mean, actually, I can prove that we're not the problem. I can prove it all day long because 125 million gun owners yesterday killed nobody. Mm-hmm. 125 million law-abiding, responsible, morally-minded Americans owning guns and carrying guns murdered nobody. If they killed anybody at all, it was in self-defense. But we're not the problem. You can't prove we are. I can prove we aren't. But don't tell me we're irresponsible. We prove every day that we are. Liar. Ambler also told Reuters, the tyrannical actions of Vladimir Putin don't erase the fact that 45,000 Americans died from gun violence in 2020, nor do they erase the urgent need for common sense popular gun violence prevention policies like background checks and funding for community violence intervention programs. I tell you what, you guys change the list all the time. On every time you start a new argument, you change the list, okay? First of all, your gun control laws are not common sense. They never have been, never will be. Popular gun violence prevention policies like background checks are already in place for every firearm purchased at any licensed dealer. Everybody goes through a background check. And they go through a background check in a system that is wrong 95% of the time when they say someone's an ineligible purchaser. And we still submit to it. So as far as funding for community violence intervention programs, why are we, the law-abiding people of America, required to fork over money for that? So nice dodge there, commie boy, but the point you're obviously attempting to obfuscate is the glaring evidence that a citizenry needs to be able to defend itself against a tyrannical government, whether it's their own government or an invading outside government. And also, I can say much about how your numbers are very misleading because the gun deaths in America every year also are attributed to, also included in those numbers are suicides and justifiable homicides, okay? So go ahead, Mr. Ambler, and feel free to explain how the free exercise of the right of the people to keep and bear arms is somehow contingent upon the actions of criminals. Feel free to explain why more gun laws should be passed against lawful, responsible citizens who had nothing to do with any of the deaths by firearm that you just mentioned. Please explain to me, sir, how 120 million, actually 333 some odd million, talking about the entirety of the citizenry here in America, why all of us should have our rights infringed based on 45,000 gun deaths that none of us had anything to do with. It was all the criminals, always has been, always will be. How come you never even think about making that distinction? And again, I ask rhetorically, because I know good and stinking well why you don't. The article continues. Links between Ukraine and the Second Amendment began gaining traction after President Volodymyr Zelensky on Thursday said weapons would be issued to citizens who were ready to defend the country from Russian forces. U.S. Congress congressional candidate Zach Nunn, an Iowa Republican and Air Force veteran who worked with the State Department in 2019 to help monitor Ukrainian elections, told Reuters, "The crisis underscored the importance of the right to bear arms." He stated in an interview last Tuesday, he said, "In Ukraine today, I would offer that a lot of people are waking up and saying that this is not only the best way to protect their country, but to preserve what they hold dear in a democracy." Now, frankly, I hate the term democracy because we, the people, and we, the United States, are not a democracy. We are a representative republic, but that's an argument for another day. The terms Ukraine and 2A, which is shorthand for the U.S. Constitution's protection of the right to keep and bear arms, have been twinned on social media posts since the Russian invasion last week. North Carolina's Republican Congressman Greg Murphy, he stated on Twitter, he said, "Thank God the people in the Ukraine have the right to take up and bear arms against their aggressor. Thank God in the U.S. we have the 2A. Amen." And he's bolstering what I said earlier. Regardless of geographical location, you have the right to take up arms to defend yourself and or your family and your country against unlawful, immoral aggression. Ukraine was among the arguments wielded by Republicans to win a 34-22 vote in the Georgia State Senate on a concealed carry bill that split down party lines on Monday. Lindsey Tippins, a Republican state senator, said, asking his fellow legislators to back the bill, he said, "I would be willing to bet you today that 99% of the people in Ukraine would give anything that they have to have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms." And I'm not sure why they wrote it like that. It doesn't read well. But in other words, they'd like to have their rights codified in their constitution, in their supreme law, just like we do. The article continues, "The constitutional carry gun law, which would allow legal weapons carriers in Georgia to carry a concealed firearm without applying for a permit, now goes to the Georgia House." Correction. Let me word that properly and in light of constitutional principle. The right to keep and bear arms already allows them to carry those weapons. This new law would keep them from having to lease their right back in the form of a permit. Okay, let's go ahead and say it would like it really is. Okay. In a new op-ed published at the Financial Times, Oleksandr Myekid tried to describe what it's like to watch your quiet neighborhood turn into a battlefield and to be confronted with the inescapable truth that running away is not an option. And that's the next article I want to get into. But first, we're going to take just a little break to hear from the fine sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Be right back.
Counter-Strike Tactical is the best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR builds by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran, plus go-to weapons brand rifles, AR-15s, AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and more. Anthony also offers laser engraving and Cerakote. So stop in at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or call 321-499-4949 and tell Anthony that Roy sent you.
ShootingClasses.com. If you are a firearms instructor, that's the only logical place to run your firearms business from. ShootingClasses.com. You can set up your page there, set up your profile, set up your classes, take payments there. Your certificates are auto-generated, rosters are auto-generated, and also sends emails out to your students before the class, reminding them at least a week or two out they have a class coming up. And I can't find any other platform out there where it makes sense to run your business from if you're a firearms instructor. Everything's right there. Even if you want to print your financial reports come tax time, it's all right there at ShootingClasses.com. If you're a student, set up an account out there and you get matched up with some serious, serious firearms instructors. Men like David Boone Benton, Israel Matos, Chris Tonto Ferranto, and guys like that, Bill Orndorff, Bruce Corey. Those are the guys that actually founded ShootingClasses.com. It is, I'll tell you what, it's genius. And it simply doesn't make sense to try to run your business from any other platform. ShootingClasses.com.
And welcome back to the Shooting Straight Radio podcast, talking about all things Second Amendment. And yes, I want to remind you, the right is worldwide, even though the Second Amendment codifies it in our supreme law here in the United States. No other country has it codified in their constitution that I'm aware of. So, Mr. Oleksandr Myekid, that comes out weird. Oleksandr Myekid is describing what's going on in his country. And this story ties into what we were just talking about, how the anti-rights people, the pro-infringement crowd, doesn't like the fact that we're using the crisis in Ukraine as a glaring example of why the people need to keep and bear arms. And this is a companion story and says, in a new op-ed published at the Financial Times, Oleksandr Myekid tries to describe what it's like to watch your quiet neighborhood turn into a battlefield and to be confronted with the inescapable truth that running away is not an option. And I believe this is an excerpt from an article I got from BearingArms.com. And these are his words. He said, on the second day of the war, I started to receive messages from my neighbors that a group of armed Russians were breaking into our homes. They were bringing people out of their houses, pointing guns to their heads, forcing them on their knees, and then forcing them to leave. The forest close to our house is a special place. A few years ago, a group of neighbors, including my wife and I, were fighting against an illegal redevelopment of the forest zone. We lost that battle against the local little czar and his bought-for-money sportsmen known as tatushkas. Russian occupants took up positions behind this development, a supermarket, in this very forest. But there is one thing that they did not comprehend. It doesn't matter how many Ukrainians, chibitsia, or quarrel among themselves. And he says the word chibitsia literally means to pull the hair of the other Cossack. So a little lesson for you. In the face of the enemy, we are one. Whether an activist who is protecting the forest or a tatushka who is propping up the little czar, we will confront the enemy together just as we did hundreds of years ago. If politics makes for strange bedfellows, wars can do the same. The tatushkas that Mikhed refers to are basically hired muscle who, under the previous administrations, often targeted pro-democracy demonstrators. Now with the country under siege, the fight for survival appears to be unifying the nation rather than breaking it apart. Mikhed, who's a writer and an art curator by trade, was hoping to spend this spring penning his first play. Instead, he's preparing to defend his nation's independence and his own individual freedom with a gun. Now, his next comments here. I want you to listen very carefully. He said, I have never written political essays. I generally find texts like these too temporal, too full of hot air and pathos, not enough nuance. But right now, I want to anchor this moment in time and place, the moment when the whole country is one entity and the only language that can be spoken by a Ukrainian writer and every Ukrainian is the language of war. The play that I wanted to write about anxiety and premonition of war should have had a refrain, the four primary rules of firearm safety. I like that right there. Echoing what is being taught during the first lesson of handling firearms. Get this next part. I'd never held a gun in my hands until February 2022. My wife and I had several hours of training just to figure out what to do with it, you know, just in case. And now I regret like hell that I didn't do that training before. Let those words from this man sink in. He says, I wish I'd started training earlier. I guarantee he feels inadequate with what little skills he has. That's why I'm very grateful and blessed that we live in the United States. We can train here in America, and believe me, train we do. The majority of gun owners and people who actually keep and bear arms, people who carry firearms, the majority of them train more than you could imagine. And we have the ability to do so. I'm glad we live in America where we can do this, because these people in the Ukraine did not have these firearms until the government decided, hey, wait a minute, we need to enlist every man, woman, and child in this fight. Well, there's a very good chance that could have been too late. Apparently it wasn't. Thank God. Now let's apply that to here at home. Let's not wait until it's too late. All of you listening to this program right now, some of you may or may not have ever handled a firearm, or maybe you just haven't had much training. You go to the range and you punch a few holes in the paper and you think you're good to go. I promise you, if hostilities erupted here in this country, and for all appearances, it looks like this government will soon be moving aggressively against the people here. I pray to God I'm wrong. I don't want that to happen. But I tell you what else I don't want to happen, and that is get caught flat-footed in the face of aggression like the Ukrainian people did. That's why we have a Second Amendment codified within our supreme law. That's why it says very plainly that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It shall not be violated. It shall not even be slightly inhibited. It shall not be hindered at all in any way, shape, or form. Look up the word infringement for yourself, or infringed. Look them all up. Look up the variations of the word infringe, infringed, and infringements, and see for yourself what it's really all about. Apparently, some people have a real hard time understanding what the Second Amendment really says, and the majority of them are sitting in elected positions. Many of them are wearing badges, unfortunately, even here in America. And they don't understand what the Second Amendment is really all about. States are passing laws right and left that basically inhibit the right of the people to keep and bear arms. And when I say arms, I'm talking about arms for war, because that's what the founders were talking about. That's what the word arms means, arms for war. Whatever arms the government may bring against us, we have to have arms to be able to effect a robust defense against those arms. That's what the word arms is talking about. I don't care what kind of misdirection and lies you may try to cover that with. The truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. That's why this next article, which we're going to get into after a short commercial break, it really ticks me off. For many reasons, for multiple sets of reasons, this article really ticks me off. Because what's happened recently in Washington State has already happened in multiple other states. And there's a reason that it has happened, and it has nothing to do with public safety. It has nothing to do with trying to keep the people safe in that particular state. It never has, and it never will. People, when I'm talking about a government moving against a citizenry, like we recently witnessed in Canada and are now witnessing in the Ukraine, I'm telling you, our government has been moving against us here. They've been moving against us by passing laws that they're not even allowed to even remotely pass in light of the supreme law. Those are acts of aggression. Don't you forget it. Every single gun control law on the books is an act of aggression against the people and their rights. And I'll explain what I'm talking about when we come back in just a moment here on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. My buddies out at WJS Guns in Merritt Island, Bill Stasak and Dalton and Troy and the gang out there do a fine job taking care of all their customers, including law enforcement officers who want to buy Blue Label firearms. He's a Blue Label dealer for multiple manufacturers. Also, very female friendly. They do a great job serving all of their customers. They will get you squared away and well regulated in your Second Amendment rights. He offers handguns, long guns, a great selection of 1791 gun leather brand holsters. Also, body armor, ammunition, magazines. What are you looking for? Bill's got you covered out there at WJS Guns. Check him out at WJSGuns.com. If you want to do some fishing, he's got you covered with fishing tackle. Bill is a total outdoor store. WJSGuns.com. Check him out there. Do make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
I'm Stephen Shoemaker. I serve as a Sergeant E5 in the United States Marine Corps. Throughout the Corps' rich history, the rifle has been the go-to weapon of choice for all Marines, as we defended ourselves, our brothers, and our country. I am proud to be part of go-to weapons and to have a hand in building high-quality rifles and pistols on the AR platform. Weapons that I would confidently carry into any area of operations as my go-to. We built rifles for both the military and the civilian market. We know quality. We build quality. We are quality. Go To Weapons. Check us out at go2weapons.com. Semper Fi.
And welcome back. Yes, so the thrust of the program here today has been pretty much that the right to keep and bear arms belongs to every person on the planet. The simple fact of the matter is it's only been codified into our Constitution here in America. So I am happy to see, regardless of the fact that I know we're not getting the whole story on Ukraine and Russia right now. I don't believe for a second that we can trust our media. I don't think for a second that the media, who was so part and parcel to a massive lie about COVID and also very dangerous vaccinations, I don't believe that that same media who had no problem propagating that massive lie and covering for all the liars who were helping to propagate it, that they're now telling us the truth about Russia and Ukraine. So with that in mind, I'm going to just go back to what we were talking about before the break, that any gun control law, any law, regardless of what country it is written in and what country it may be enforced in, any law that inhibits the right of their people to be armed to defend themselves against any and all threats, yes, that includes their own government, that law is a stench and it's an abomination in the nostrils of God Almighty as far as Royce Bartlett's concerned. Laws that disarm an entire nation to make them ripe lambs for the slaughter of wolves in their government is an illegal law. It's an immoral law. But yet, those very laws are being passed all the time in every state against the people within the states here in the United States. It happened in California. It's happened in New Jersey. It's happened in New York. It's happened in many other states. And one of their favorite laws that they like to ban, that they like to pass, is bans on certain firearms and certain firearms parts. And their most favorite one is this high-capacity magazine ban. Right. As if criminals are actually going to obey those laws. First of all, criminals don't use, customarily, they don't use AR-15s and 30-round magazines. No, these laws are aimed squarely at law-abiding citizens, because the people writing these laws, the people passing these laws, the people signing these laws, and the people enforcing these laws know good and cotton-picking, stinking well that these laws will not do anything to inhibit violent crime, criminals using guns or anything else like that. It will not stop them from doing bad things with whatever tool they can get their hands on to commit those bad things. This is an article from AmmoLand, and this article came out Sunday, I believe, an article by Dave Workman, a fantastic writer. And he said, by a 55-42 dead of night vote, and by the way, have you ever noticed how often that happens? They pass gun control laws and other anti-rights laws always in the dead of night. Not always, but way too often. He said, the Washington State House of Representatives has passed a ban on rifle and pistol magazines holding more than 10 cartridges, including magazines for rimfire rifles, causing outrage among Evergreen State grassroots activists who will be looking to unseat as many Democrats as possible in the November 2022 election. Senate Bill 5078 goes to the desk of anti-gun Democrat Governor Jay Inslee, who has already vowed to sign it. Two Democrat House members, Representatives Kristen Harris Towley from Seattle, and Steve Kirby from Tacoma, voted against the measure, breaking ranks from their majority Democrat colleagues. The vote came about 2 weeks after the Liberty Park Press published a revealing report about the ineffectiveness of magazine capacity limits that many readers sent to their state lawmakers. In other words, they sent them this article and said, read this before you try to pass this. Well, the problem is, the elected officials there in Washington State are about as tone deaf as they are here in Florida, like Mr. Marco Rubio, the producer of this program, Mr. Norm Maynor. Right before I went on the air here, he sent me an email where he got a canned response from Rubio, and I read it. It was the exact same canned response that I got from Mr. Rubio. And it's not just on this latest batch of emails that I sent out to my representatives. When I've sent him emails before, he sent me the same canned response. So these lawmakers, these elected officials, didn't care about these revealing reports that revealed the ineffectiveness of banning high-capacity magazines or trying to limit capacity volume in certain magazines. They didn't care. I'll tell you why they didn't care. Because this magazine ban is not about public safety. It never has been, and they know good and stinking well that it wasn't. The communist scum who wrote it, who passed it, who signed this illegal or who's about to sign this illegal law into effect, they know it too. And they know that this will not inhibit crime. Their goal and their purpose is to try to limit the effectiveness of the arms of the people. No other reason. Because they know no criminal is going to obey this law. This law is aimed squarely at the law-abiding citizens in Washington state. They are actively trying to reduce the effectiveness of the people's arms. That is an act of aggression. That is an act of treason. It assaults the security of the free state. Back to the article. The late night Friday vote was hailed by anti-gun Democrat attorney, Democrat Attorney General Bob Ferguson, in a tweet now posted at the Facebook page of the Washington 2022 Legislative Action Group. This legislation was introduced at Ferguson's request by Democrat Senator Marco Leos of Linwood. And he made this statement. He says, "Today is the fulfillment of years of hard work from so many. More than 5 years ago, I stood with the parents of shooting victims." Yes, of course you do, because you guys are the ones that actually use crises and tragedies to drive gun control laws through. And you turn around and gaslight and say, we're the ones using tragedies like Ukraine to bolster the Second Amendment argument. Mm-hmm. He said, "I stood with the parents of shooting victims, legislators, mayors, police chiefs, and representatives from faith communities to say enough is enough, and proposed banning the sale of high-capacity magazines in Washington state." Banning them from who? Uh-huh. You know good and well who you're talking about banning them from. From lawful citizens, from moral citizens. He said, "Today our legislature chose public safety over the gun lobby." Oh, bull fertilizer. Has nothing to do with public safety, and you know what. You're couching it in sanctimony. He said, "And I am deeply appreciative of their service." Oh, I bet you are. They were all useful idiots. "This policy will save lives." No, it won't. "And make our communities safer from gun violence." No, it won't. "And I want you to point to any other state that has had such a ban and show me how much safer they are right now. Why don't you start with California, where their crime rates are skyrocketing, and they've had magazine limits for years and years now. Yeah, tell me how it's going to save lives. You knew good and well it ain't going to save lives. You were given reading material by your constituents and you ignored it because your sole design, sir, and all you sirs and ma'ams there in Washington State Legislature, your sole design was one reason and one reason only, and that was to inhibit the capabilities of the arms of the lawful citizenry. And I know why you're doing it, and you know why you're doing it. You want to make them as weak as possible so that they cannot resist other future designs that you have for them. You can lie to me all you want, but don't you TT on me and tell me it's raining. Wade Gogren, owner of a Bellevue gun range and firearms retail business, reacted bluntly, telling KING News, he said, "There's no way that an intelligent person is going to look at this law and see that it would stop or limit or change any kind of mass shooting." Well, again, I say, Mr. Gogren, that's because this magazine ban is not about that. It's not about public safety. It's about illegally assaulting the security of a free state by directly impacting the ability of private citizens to defend themselves against their government, a government that keeps and bears 30-round magazines. He predicted a surge in magazine purchasing, a notion reinforced by an announcement from at least one firm, Palmetto State Armory. They announced it will prioritize orders from Washington State residents. They said all magazine orders placed from Washington State with Palmetto State Armory will ship out immediately and receive priority over all other orders. Well, good for you, Palmetto State Armory. Dan Mitchell, owner of Vancouver Sporting Systems, posted a fact sheet about the magazine ban, which included a depiction of the state flag with dictatorial overtones. Good for you. One activist member of the Legislative Action Group posted this message. He said, "The only group that can help us, and that definitely will help us, is the Second Amendment Foundation." And that was Mr. Perry Singh. He said, "They're responsible for all the lawsuits that are successful. We have a U.S. Supreme Court that will side with us." Don't you count on that at all. He said, "We just need an organization that is serious about bringing lawsuits. And there is no organization more serious than the Second Amendment Foundation." Well, I agree with that statement. I absolutely do. I'm a member of them. You should be a member, too. But don't you think for a second that the Supreme Court's going to side with you, Mr. Singh. I'd love to be able to tell you that they will, but that doesn't mean they will. Look, let me explain something to you. Or let me go ahead and throw a hypothetical out there by way of explanation so I can tell you what I'm talking about. What are you going to do when the courts no longer serve us, and many of them don't? Many of them do not serve the people. They serve themselves, their own opinions, their own activist opinions, and they serve people who put money in their pockets, which happens quite a lot, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. They don't serve the people, and many of them do not uphold and defend and serve the Constitution of the United States of America. So what are you going to do when we cannot trust the courts anymore? What are you going to do when law after law after law is passed, slowly whittling down our capability to defend ourselves against our government? Let me ask you something. Did the founders of this country even so much as hint that the people should subject themselves to unconstitutional laws, especially gun control? Did they even hint that the laws created by constitutionally ignorant or constitutionally dyslexic public servants should be given any credence and honored by our obedience and our compliance thereto? You know, you understand what it might take, right? All of you listening in Washington State, I know there's some of you up there. I see the stats. All of you listening up there in Washington State, when are you going to say, you know what, we've had enough, and go ahead and send a resolution to your state legislature and to the governor and to all the local law enforcement agencies? Matter of fact, all the law enforcement agencies across your state, and say, we, the people, have every right to have any weapon that y'all carry, and we are going to do so peacefully. We strongly recommend that you do not try to infringe that right. We strongly recommend that you don't attempt to arrest all of us, or any of us for that matter, because we are simply exercising our right. We are the lawful people of this land. We are the lawful keepers and bearers of this country. We are moral. We are responsible. You cannot tell us simply because we own magazines that hold 20 more rounds than you're comfortable with us having that we're somehow felons in waiting. Actually, I'd like to see this happen here in Florida. I'd like for us to send resolutions to Tallahassee and to every law enforcement agency across the state and tell them flat out, you know what? We're going to peacefully take back what is lawfully ours, our rights. And we expect all law enforcement officers to simply do what every other law enforcement officer in every other constitutional carry state would do when interacting with someone and they discover that the person's carrying a firearm. Check them for priors. I'm sick to death of hearing this. Well, it's going to make the job for law enforcement harder. I don't care. The free exercise of our rights is not contingent upon how hard it might make a police officer's job. You running for priors already anyway. Here you go. Hey, I got this guy with a gun on him. Okay, checking for priors. You got priors? Nope, no priors. Okay, you're free to go. Here's your firearm back. Have a great day. It is that easy. Well, we need to be able to tell at a glance if someone's a criminal or not. We can ascertain that by whether or not someone's got a permit or not. I don't care. You don't get to tell me, well, you have to keep leasing your right back to make it easy on me. I don't care about that. We the people should do that here in Florida. Look, you know what? We're tired of asking you guys politely. We're tired of asking nicely for you to do the right thing and to actually uphold and defend the Constitution. And we're sick to death of waiting years. Meanwhile, you're making money off of us by leasing our rights back to us, which is an abomination and it's abhorrent. So guess what? As of today, as of this resolution, those permits are null and void. We already have one. It was written back in 1791. It was ratified. It was adopted into the Bill of Rights. We already have a permit. We don't need your permission slip. You may not lease our right back to us anymore. We're going to carry firearms with or without your permission. Oh, Royce, easy for you to say, man. Yeah, what happens if you get arrested? Well, you know what? I actually chanced that for almost 30 years because I had an attorney who swore he would defend me pro bono and pay my bail and everything. And yeah, he would have done it too. Absolutely. And I carried a gun without a permit for almost 30 years because, in my opinion, I didn't need a permit. I already had one given to me by God Almighty. And yes, I was willing to risk going to jail. The only thing that made me get a permit is I became a gun dealer. And I started weighing it out, man. That's the last thing I needed to get arrested and get a felony. And I tell you what, I gnashed my teeth all the way down to the tax collector's office to apply for that stinking thing. And it still grates me to this day that I have to lease my right back. It's a right I was born with. And who the blippity black and blippity blap do you people think you are telling me I got to pay you for it? Into the flames of hell with your good intentions and everything else. When are we the people going to stand up and go, you know what? It's time for us to get together. It's time for us to band together, just like those Ukrainians over there are right now, regardless of what differences they had before, and say we're taking our rights back. How about y'all out there in Washington State? Go ahead and send. I tell you what, you get a couple of million of y'all sending in letters and resolutions saying flat out, we are not going to obey this law. We are going to willfully violate it because it willfully violates our rights and the supreme law of the land. And if you know what's good for you, you will not try to enforce it. Oh, by the way, state of Washington that just passed this law. If it's so dangerous for the citizens to have these magazines, how come you're grandfathering some of them in? Well, I mean, if they're that dangerous, why would you give any kind of leeway at all? I know why. And that's just another rhetorical question. You're trying to inhibit the ability of the people of the state of Washington to defend themselves against government agents who have 30-round magazines. That's the only reason. You can couch your intentions in all the sanctimonious terminology you want to, but at the end of the day, all of you flaming communists up there who have been wrecking that state, by the way, that was your end game. You're simply following what the communists did in California, what the communists have done in New Jersey, the communists have done in Connecticut, the communists have done in New York, every other state that is passing these, oh, you can only have 10 rounds. Why? Well, because if you hold more than that, we call you a felon. Why? Because we said so. There's a law that says you're a felon if you have more than 10 rounds. What they're saying is that, well, if you have more than 10 rounds, then you're going to abuse it. You're going to misuse it. You're going to go on a mass shooting. We can't trust you. That's what we're dealing with, people. That's what we're dealing with. Thanks for hanging with me today on this episode of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Let's adjust ourselves and realign our conscience along constitutional lines, all right? And yes, let's not be afraid to stand up and say we're exercising our right with or without your permission. Send resolutions out across the entire state saying flat out, you guys are out of line, sit down, shut up, you're not enforcing this, we're not accepting it. That may be what it takes. I hope not, but if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes, and let's be men about it. Let's stand up. Let's let our testicles drop. Let's grow a pair. Let's stand up to these guys and quit yielding ourselves and complying with unconstitutional laws that do nothing to stop crime as they claim that they are, and do everything to inhibit our ability to defend ourselves against a tyrannical, marauding government. Keep your head on a swivel, keep your gun loaded, and never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out. So turn it on.